Today is May 10th, 2017, and this is episode number 410 of the Apple Context Machina podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I will be feasting on Bluebell ice cream in a month and a half.
You just have to rub it in, don't you?
I do, in fact, have to. Bluebell homemade vanilla ice cream. You know, the last time I went to Texas, it was a few days before a multi-month shutdown by Bluebell due to a breakout of some sort. They had a health code violation. They had a problem in one of their factories. And this company is kind of an awesome company. They shut down all of their factories all over the southern United States, mm-hmm. and cleaned them all out. Like, even though they only had a problem at one of them, they wanted to make sure that they had no more problems. And I respect that greatly. And they started shipping Bluebell ice cream again a few days after I left.
Of course. And in the meantime, you were thinking, if only I could get a pint of salmonella swirl.
Exactly. I would have risked it. I'm telling you, I like Bluebell ice cream. Listen, you've met me. You know that I'm a big guy. I'm a lot smaller than I was. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm a lot smaller than I was. But I'm a big guy, and I was a bigger guy. A lot of that biggerness came from Bluebell ice cream. Just saying.
I hear it's really good stuff.
It is the best store-bought ice cream, period. Their homemade vanilla is one of my favorite ice creams, gelatos, anything else, period, anywhere. Love the stuff. That's a long title, isn't it?
That is a long title. I'm going to have to order you a special size.
Oh, yeah. That's good. This is going to be a billboard size.
You're going to need a bigger pocket.
To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM@macobserver.com.
And hey, stay subscribed. Wait.
That was practically a full episode worth of discussion about Bluebell ice cream. I love Bluebell.
Yeah, I can just imagine what it tastes like. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. You can't have the Bluebell ice cream.
No.
No. No. Well, you could, but I don't want to be anywhere near.
No, I should just totally own up to what's going to happen and take the pint of ice cream and go sit in the emergency room.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It'd be worth it.
So you say.
It'd be worth it. All right. So
you weren't around the last time I accidentally got milk in me.
Yeah,
Did I ever tell you the story about how I realized I was anaphylactic? It was my Apple Watch.
I have not heard the story.
Yeah. So what happened was I'd gone to a coffee shop and I got an iced soy chai, and apparently they made it with milk, and I didn't realize because I was just kind of drinking it, not paying attention, and I had failed to do what I always do, which is get the drink and say, this is made with soy, right? And so I started having a bad reaction, and my cognitive skills were failing, so I wasn't aware. And it wasn't until I saw my Apple Watch and also had the assistance of my girlfriend figuring out through texting something was wrong, looked up my Apple Watch, and it showed that my heart rate had been at like 112 for 10 hours.
Huh. Yeah. That didn't seem good.
No, but thanks to our listeners.
I mean, to be fair, I call that Saturday night. But that doesn't really seem all that good.
No, it was not good. But in the end, I'm okay because I'm here now. And it was when I put the call out to our listeners that I needed an app that could just monitor my heart rate and give me alarms when it goes outside of a preset range.
Uh-huh.
That I ended up finding this app. And so one of our listeners turned me on to it. And so I've got this app running on my Apple Watch all the time. Something happens and my heart rate goes too high, then I start getting alerts.
That is good.
Yeah.
Huzzah to our fantastic. We honestly, we have great. It sounds like I'm pandering. And I am, I suppose, but it's the truth. So
I like pandas. They're really cool.
We have the best listeners. We have the best readers. We always have. We've been, you know, Dave and I have been publishing this Mac Observer thing that we do here for, this is our 19th year.
That's amazing.
And thank you kindly. It is, in fact, amazing. You've been here with us for a big, long chunk of that. We have fantastic listeners, fantastic readers. We appreciate everyone, and the fact that they're helping to save your life, even as we speak,
yeah,
is good stuff.
It is. And, you know, and when I'm on shows and I tell our listeners, you know, thanks for being here, it's not just me tossing off a line. Like, I'm genuinely glad that we have our listeners. I'm genuinely for sure. glad that they engage with us. I absolutely love it. And I love that when I was having a medical issue and shared it with everyone, people were like, hey, try this, do this, have you tried this? And I ended up with a really great app out of it. And I love every single one of you. I will personally hug every one of you if you come find me.
All right. Sounds Seriously. Like a challenge. Sounds like a challenge. You heard it, folks. Do it.
You've seen me at conferences.
I have. And when he says hug, what he really means is a kiss on the lips, folks. I'm just warning you. So speaking of a kiss on the lips.
Lip hug.
Speaking of a kiss on the lips.
I don't even know where you're going with this, and I know what the topics are.
John Martellaro.
Okay, now I know where you're going.
John, I want to change John's mind. Now, he's not here to defend himself, so this is not Perfect. An attack. This actually is not an attack on John. But I want to change his mind. I want to make a coherent argument. I want to paint a picture of the future, if you will, that will help John think differently about the subject of smart devices in our homes, voice interactive smart devices in our homes that control stuff for us and give us information.
Yeah. So where John stands today, and since he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah. We'll just make some stuff up.
As one does. So devices like the Amazon Echo and mm-hmm. Google Home mm-hmm. And whatever Apple's Siri voice assistant appliance is going to be.
Unannounced. Unannounced. Nothing official, but duh.
Yeah, but yeah, rumors are pegging a Worldwide Developer Conference for at least an announcement about this device.
By the way, I have some evidence to back that up. I have some circumstantial evidence to back that up, but go ahead.
Okay. Can you share your evidence?
Finish explaining what.
Okay.
What it is.
So, John, he's looking at these devices that I'm calling voice assistant appliances that sit on the counter, on the bookshelf, on the desk, and when you talk, they're listening. And then they respond. So you can do like web searches on them. You can get your calendar, so your schedule for the day. You can set reminders and tasks. You can set alarms and timers. You can control smart home devices through them. As an example, I have an Echo Dot sitting in my living room.
You have an Amazon Home wiretap in your office. Got it. Go
tomato,
ahead.
Tomato, tomato. No, it's not in my office. It's in my living room.
Living room, sorry. You have a home wiretap device inside your house, but go ahead.
Right. And, you know, as one does. And I use that to voice control the smart home devices that I have in my place. And I use it for timers all the time. I use it for weather reports before I head out for usually screwing off at the coffee shop. And it's become this integral part of my life. And much like in Star Trek, where you just talk to the air and something happens, the computer responds. That's what happens with my Echo Dot. It just... Now, Brian, you know that gasket you have that leaks sometimes?
Yeah.
It's leaking again. So that's just the general overview of what this is. And these devices are the next big thing. I mean, Amazon's Echo product line is very popular. Google is now in on the game with Google Home. Presumably, Apple's going to introduce their thing soon. And then we also have Microsoft Cortana-based device called Invoke that's actually being sold through Harman Kardon. So it has a Harman Kardon label on it.
Right. All right. So more specifically, what we're talking about with Apple would be a Siri-based device that, and I'm going to put this a little bit differently than I have in any other instance.
Okay.
It's not that it's going to compete with Alexa or Google Home or the Cortana device. Mm-hmm. It's that it's going to meet the same need that those devices are trying to meet.
Okay.
That's what Apple does. That's what Apple did with the iPad, right? The yes. iPad was designed to, in some ways, to meet the same need that netbooks were meeting at the time. You remember netbooks, Jeff?
Yeah, I remember netbooks.
And it's what Apple did with Apple Watch. Apple didn't put out a smartwatch that competed with Pebble or Fitbit or anything else. They actually changed the rules, and they brought a device to market that tried to meet some of the same needs that people were turning to then existing smartwatches to meet. Mm-hmm. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Okay. When Apple released the iPhone wasn't just Apple's attempt at the smartphone, which Microsoft had been making for a while.
As well as Palm.
And
BlackBerry. Well, at the time, RIM.
And Nokia.
Yep, Nokia.
Right. And Apple instead brought a device that was meeting roughly the same need, but in very, very different ways that all these other devices were doing. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Apple's going to do with the Siri device. But this would be a Siri-based device. It would have a speaker, maybe a Beats-based speaker, whatever. Phil Schiller just recently said that he thinks that these devices need a display on them.
Yep.
And we have, in fact, heard some rumors that Apple would introduce this at WWDC. I don't really think it's a great WWDC device, except for the fact that we want to see Apple do something, anything. Do you know how many products Apple has shipped in the last 8 months? Have I trotted this number out in front of you yet?
Trot your number for me, Brian.
3 in the last 8 months. One of those was AirPods, because it was introduced 4 months before that, but didn't ship. Yeah, so in the last 8 months, Apple has shipped 3 freaking devices, man. 3 devices. One is a red iPhone. One is a cheap iPad. And one was the AirPods that were introduced, but were delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed.
Oh, that's right. Because the Touch Bar MacBook Pro had already come out by December.
That was all right. October, fine. If you say the last 9 months, Apple has in fact shipped 4 devices. Great. Wonderful.
So, yeah. So it would be nice to see something at WWDC, even though that's typically not a hardware announcement event for Apple, but announcing a Siri appliance at WWDC, if it's coming out like a few months later, makes sense, because you want developers creating stuff for this thing.
Assuming it's going to be open up to developers, it's possible.
But if it's not going to be open to developers, there's no point in showing it at WWDC.
There is a point. The point is, here's the point for Apple to release something, anything. we want Apple to ship new products. Mm-hmm. We want Apple to iterate on its existing products. It's not just us. It's Apple's fan base. It's Apple's developer base. It's Apple's customers. We want this company to ship new things. So it is possible that Apple would use WWDC to ship something, anything, whether or not it's aimed at developers, like, say, a new Mac Pro, which we almost assuredly will not see because that's not going to be out until next year.
At the earliest.
At the earliest, right. Mm-hmm. And so it is possible that to, you know, show developers that Apple still knows how to ship, that they would release something, anything. But to your point, if it's going to be shown at WWDC, maybe it'll be open to developers out of the box. That's possible. I kind of don't think it would be, though. I mean, I think that they would do their usual cautious thing where at first it's not open to developers, just like Apple Watch, just like iPhone. Of course, iPad was open to developers immediately.
Yeah, because iPhone had already been opened up.
Yeah, because that had already been done. Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. So, well, anyway, let's hope. The rumor is that it's coming at WWDC, and my circumstantial evidence for that timing is that Microsoft made a point of getting their thing out, and Amazon made a point of getting their thing out.
Right, that's right. They announced the Echo Show.
Yep.
A couple days ago, day or two ago, and yep. Which would be the same thing as a couple days ago, I suppose.
Yep.
And they said that it is shipping on June 28th. So they announced before WWDC, they're shipping after WWDC. Microsoft announced before WWDC, they're shipping sometime this fall at undetermined price point.
Yeah. So for Microsoft to advance this, well, and of course, you know, Microsoft has a long and storied history of releasing vaporware to screw the competition. In this particular case, Microsoft is way behind the eight ball, and they're not going to screw the competition. I think they actually just wanted to get their pee in the sand on the sand before Apple came and drew a line.
I've never heard that before.
I just made it up.
Okay.
But you like it, don't you?
Yeah. And am I interpreting the reference correctly?
Well, I'm just thinking like drawing a line in the sand, which isn't normally done with pee, but I'm also thinking about marking your territory. So,
okay,
you know,
so I was thinking about it the way you intended.
It's a little convoluted, but Google I.O. is May 17th to May 19th. It's a couple of weeks before WWDC this year. In the past, it's actually been as close as just a few days. Right? I bet you that Google will announce something at that event, too. That they're going to do some kind of upgrade to Google Home, some kind of boost to it.
That seems totally plausible.
And the fact, no, so Google hasn't done that yet, but Microsoft has, and Amazon has. Eagles to Bagels says that it's so that they can get out there before Apple sets the bar.
So is this your circumstantial?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure there wasn't like an even bigger surprise. No, your logic train is on the right track, I believe.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So we've convinced John now, haven't we?
No, we still got a long way to go. Oh. Google I.O. page is fun. It's got all these little lines that rotate. And then if you move your mouse around, it disrupts their thing. Really? Yeah. It's events.google.com/I.O. You know what? We're going to stick that puppy in the show notes. So it's a nice little page. It's fun. Oh. May 17th to 19th.
Cool.
Google I.O. Oh, that's their developer conference, by the way, for folks who are following along at home. All right. So we think Apple's going to do this. And but that brings us back to John thinking that Apple isn't going to do it. And that's really weird to me because John is a big sci-fi guy, old school sci-fi guy.
Yeah. He's not seeing the value in this. And
yeah. Which is weird to me. It's just crazy.
I find it fascinating how he is not getting at all why I see value in being able to turn on the lights in my house without having to actually touch anything or having to set down groceries to hit a light switch.
Well, even weirder than him not seeing why you don't see value in that is him not seeing why I see value in that. That's just that just blows my mind.
I I'm sure it does.
This moment of narcissism was brought to you by me. Me, because me.
Now, with more me.
Well, see, another interesting thing about John Martellaro is that he is a huge Star Trek fan.
He is. And this has been the way, generally speaking, people in Star Trek have interacted with the computer going all the way back to the original series in the 1960s. The original series.
Which he was a huge nut for, and so I'm going to quote from Jeff Butts, who wrote a piece for us today called, and we'll stick this in the show notes, "Series No Amazon Alexa Yet, But Give Her Time." He says, I'm not sure when the idea of disembodied personal assistants like Siri or Amazon Alexa first entered our awareness. However, my first recollection of such technology came from the science fiction television series Star Trek. I and many others have memories of wishing we could call on something like the Enterprise's computer just by speaking or our commands or queries. That's what Star Trek promised us, and that's what many of us are waiting for. We've already seen a number of Star Trek predictions come true, blah, blah, blah. He didn't make the point that I thought he made. You know, so one of the things that John says is basically we've got Siri in our pocket or on our wrist. Mm-hmm. Which ignores the fact that most people don't carry, most sane people, you know, we're weirdos, right? Most people don't carry their iPhones in their pockets in their home. And most people don't necessarily wear their Apple Watches all day. Most Apple Watch customers don't necessarily wear their Apple Watches all day.
Also, when you are using an iPhone or an Apple Watch to interact with Siri, you are adding in an extra level of interaction because you have to raise your wrist to your face to talk. You have to take your phone out of your pocket and hold it up to talk. And while that may not seem like a big deal,
no, it's magic. It's amazing that we can do it. We live in this amazing time where we have things like Siri, Cortana, or even Alexa, the dumbest of the bunch.
But still, I mean, having to take a device and physically interact with it to do the voice part is that in and of itself is magical, but that doesn't make the device or the service a ubiquitous part of our households.
No, it really doesn't. And here is the thing. Here's the argument that I wanted to make that I think will change John's mind, assuming he listens to this episode.
Well, we'll just tell him he has to listen to the episode.
Oh, that's right. We can do that. We want our homes to be smart for us. This whole notion of a smart home, that's what we call it, right? We call it a smart home because you have a smart light bulb that you can turn off through your smartphone. We call it a smart home just because we've got some kind of, you know, ugly, not all of them are ugly, but we've got some kind of device that we can plug into a socket and then plug another device in so we can control that dumb device from our smartphones. We call our homes smart homes because we have an
Echobee thermostat on the wall.
Or an internet accessible, which is just crazy stupid to me, lock on our locks, mm-hmm. right? We call those smart homes, but that's not a smart home. It is today, but in not very much time, that will be LOL smart home. That'll be a joke.
Yeah, that will be where we are right now is in the infancy of this technology.
The very beginning steps. And what we all want, I think, almost all of us who think about this, and maybe there's some people who don't, but we want to be able to just talk to the air and have our home take care of stuff for us. We want our home to turn on our lights for us. Matter of fact, it would be great if we didn't even have to tell our homes. That day will come where your home is turning on lights ahead of you and turning off lights behind you.
Oh, Brian, honey, that day's already here.
Well, okay. You have to set it up. It's not smart.
That's you're absolutely right. Like for me to do that, I have to use motion sensors that I'm either buying separately or that come, say, with a Echobee thermostat. And Yeah. So you can do these things and you, yes, but you're right. There's a lot of setup on the user's part to get lights to turn on and off when you just come and go, to turn on or off as you move through
your
house.
What we really want is we never want to think about it. What we really want is to never think about turning on lights unless we want to specifically change the thing that normally makes sense. Like, I don't want to turn on the light because I'm going to sneak through the house so I don't wake up someone who's sleeping in my living room. Right. That exception would be the time that we ever even think about it, because otherwise our smart home, our truly smart home, the computer that controls our smart home, has learned what the heck we want. Our mm-hmm. environment is being taken care of. The the smart refrigerators, which are currently beyond a joke. Right. At some point, our food, basic staples, at the very least, will be ordered for us without ever thinking about it. Right. I mean,
here's something for a smart fridge that would be awesome. How about someone like me that has serious dietary restrictions because of allergies? And I get someone brings food and puts it in the fridge, and it sets off an alarm for me to let me know something's been put in the fridge that I can't eat.
All right, giddy up.
I like that. That's a use for a smart fridge right there.
Yeah, that's.
I know you're having a really hard time wrapping your head around that because you can eat anything you want.
No, I'm not. I understand the value of it to you. I'm just actually was thinking about the various technological hurdle. I mean, that's.
I think you're thinking about Blue Bunny ice cream.
Blue Bell.
Blue Bell.
It's not Blue Bunny. It's a different company.
Oh, I really tried. I tried to get the ice cream.
Blue Bell kicks Blue Bunny's butt.
Oh, there's a Blue Bunny ice cream also?
I believe there is a Blue Bunny ice cream.
Oh. Well, great. That's two brands that I can't try.
Blue Bunny ice cream. Let me make sure. We gotta actually.
So we've convinced John now, right?
Yeah, there is a Blue Bunny. No, we're not quite done.
Okay.
The idea here, there is a Blue Bunny ice cream. The idea, definitely a little OCD. And so the idea of our homes truly being smart is not tied to a smartphone. It's not tied to a watch. It's not tied to any device because the device is your home.
Mm-hmm.
And the device being your home includes having microphones that can listen to you now. And I know I sit here and rail about wiretaps in your home, but that's why I want Apple to do this, because I want a company who has a business model dedicated to not raping my privacy as the company that's making these devices that I'm putting in my home. But we need microphones, possibly even cameras mm-hmm. that we trust. Mm-hmm. And they're listening to us and they're watching us and they're taking care of the things that we don't want to bother with. And that is the true promise of the smart home. That is like what Alexa is not an end goal. I mean, Alexa is not even an end goal for Amazon, and Amazon knows what kind of shortcuts they took with Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they're taking shortcuts with that thing where you have to train the user instead of teaching the device to think. And where we are now is not the end goal. Where we are now, really, it's like getting into the starting blocks. And this is why Apple needs to do this, because Apple is the company that we trust to do this. And Apple has said they want to be where we live our lives. They want to occupy these positions in our lives that intersect with us a lot of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we live a lot of our days in our homes. Therefore, ipso facto, Apple is going to do this, and it is the goal. And that home that is taking care of stuff where you just have to speak into the air and your home complies, that is a glorious goal. And it requires either the home to be built this way or as the starting block thing for us to put these devices in our rooms where they listen to us.
Mm-hmm. And I expect that there will be a lot of people that are quite content with the voice interaction systems we already have that are on their smartphones. And that's because for them, it's already convenient enough.
And it is convenient. It's amazing. I mean, complaining about that, and then I'm going to channel Jeff Butts again, is a very first world kind of problem. Oh my God, I had to pull my iPhone out of my pocket and speak to Siri. It's so terrible. Yeah. Right? I mean, that's the first world complaint from hell.
Mm-hmm.
But we will think of it that way once this stuff actually works in our homes. You know, and lifting up our iPhone or lifting up our watch becomes the thing that we do when we're out and about. But when we're at home, we speak to the air and the lights come on. We speak to the air and the temperature changes.
Yeah, to me, this is, technologically speaking, like when people had gas lamps. And they were wonderfully convenient. They were so useful. All you had to do was turn a dial and then hold a match up, and you've lit this gas lamp, and now you can see at night. And then that transitions to eventually you have a light switch on the wall that you flip, and now the light is coming on without you having to use a match. And of course we're switching from gas to electricity for that, but it's the same sort of thing. You had this system that worked and worked well, but it turns out there's a better way, but you had to have the stepping stone of the one to get to the other.
And you didn't have to have the gas lamp. From a societal standpoint, that was a stepping stone, but you didn't need that stepping stone to get there. There's no real connection between gas lamps and electric lamps.
You're totally grabbing the wrong connection out of this. This is about the technology and the ease of use. It's not about the gas itself. This is about what steps did it take to create the light. And in one case, it's turning something and lighting a match. In another case, it's flipping a switch. And that's the part that you need to be focusing on. Mm-hmm. You and your pedantry, sometimes it just gets mm-hmm. in the way of mm-hmm. really good stories.
I
know.
Accuracy can be really annoying. I realize that. And I feel for you.
You have no idea the cross I bear. But my point is, you have technological stepping stones as you work towards something that is better than what you had before. And while the previous thing was good enough, and at the time there was nothing better, there is a path to something that's better and more useful for everyone.
Right. And lifting up our phones to control the lights in our house ain't it. Not even lifting our wrists. Not even saying that ain't it.
I agree completely, and I totally get it's not a big deal to pull your phone out of your pocket and tell Siri.
Yeah, it's glorious. It's glorious that we can.
But if that's what you have to do to always turn on the lights, then you're creating a system that the vast majority of your users will never go on board with, because it involves all these other steps and setting things up that they're not going to do. Someone like me, I rush in where angels fear to tread, and my place is so full of smart home whatevers that I'm experimenting with. And I cannot imagine the average person having even a tenth of this stuff in their home and being happy.
Right.
But man, if you could take it where you just talk to the air and it simply works, now people are going to be on board.
Right. Especially if it gets faster than what we have today. And we were talking pre-show, and I was saying that I thought that Alexa was slow. And you were saying that you didn't think it was slow. And in my experience, it is. I don't know. I don't know what the circumstances there are, but one way or another, I think this stuff needs to be faster. And I think that would what would help with that is if a lot more was being done locally on the device.
Sure. Yeah. If you're doing stuff locally, you ought to be able to do it faster.
Which is Apple's strength.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Amazon's strength is the cloud. Amazon has this amazing infrastructure set up for cloud computing. Same with Google. Yeah. So it makes sense for them to try to offload this crap to the cloud. But Apple likes to do Siri stuff as much as possible. Obviously, some of what Apple is doing is not being done. It is being done in the cloud.
I would speculate that most of what Apple's doing is happening in the cloud just because of the computing horsepower necessary to make it happen, but not on the scale that Amazon and Google are, because they're doing everything in the cloud.
Apple is doing a lot of the vocal processing locally.
Yeah, and Google and Amazon are not. It's all cloud-based.
So that stuff needs to be faster, and I think that's something that's going to give Apple a bit of a leg up. But one way or another, here's the point. The point is computers controlling our home are the future. And that starts with these devices that can listen to us.
Yes. If you're going to control the home, then you need to control it in a way that does not require every single person to have a very specific device in their pocket or on their wrist.
Yeah.
Look at lights. There's a single switch on the wall that controls the light. Everyone has access to it.
It's true. And you clap. You remember the clapper?
Yeah, I remember that. Clap on, clap off.
Someone's lights just went on. Yeah. But it's the same kind of thing. It's anybody can actually, anyway, whatever. The point is, computers controlling our home are the future, and that is beyond obvious to me.
Yep, I agree. This is the path we're heading down. There will be people that don't get on board, but that's okay. But this is the path we're heading down.
Speaking of paths that we're heading down, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that Apple bought BB Edit? I'm only exacerbating a problem, I think.
You are. Poor John. When he heard the news yesterday and he thought that you meant BB Edit as opposed to Bedit.
It's Bedit. It's not BB Edit. Rich Siegel did not sell BB Edit to Apple in any way, shape, manner, or fashion, but Apple did buy sleep tracking company Bedit.
Yeah. Now, were you familiar with Bedit before this purchase?
I was before I wrote the story up.
This moment, have no idea the cross that I bear.
This moment brought to you by Deflection. Deflection because squirrel. No, I did not personally know Bedit. So why don't you tell us about Bedit? Because I happen to know that you know Bedit.
Yeah, that's true. So Bedit, what they did was they created this sensor strip that lays on your mattress, and then your sheets go on top of it, and then it links to your iPhone through Bluetooth to transmit data back to your phone, and it monitors your respiration, it monitors your movement, and it monitors snoring as well. So the way their sensor system works, it provides a surprisingly accurate view of your sleep patterns. And so it can do things like over time, you can track your sleep pattern and then let it wake you up at the most appropriate time in your sleep cycle. So like if you need to get up at 6 a.m, you can let the system know, and you can do this part with a lot of other systems, but theirs is surprisingly accurate because of the way it's tracking you, but it'll figure out when is the best time ahead of that 6 o'clock alarm to wake you up, so that you're not being drug out of a deep sleep. And it's the system that I've been using on my bed for a while now. And it's a system that what the company said was more accurate than anything else on the market, unless you went to a sleep clinic and use their professional equipment. And in many cases, you'd be able to get very similar readings from theirs compared to what you would do in an actual sleep clinic. And in a sleep clinic, remember, you're going to be all wired up, stuff taped to your head, and it's not a very comfortable way to sleep. So it's a really, really advanced, high-end consumer product for tracking your sleep.
All right, that makes sense. And Apple has bought them. And this is... I'm so excited about this. It's weird to me that Apple has not been into sleep tracking heretofore.
Yeah, they made it something that you could log through other
HealthKit.
Yeah, through HealthKit. Thank you, through HealthKit. But they weren't actually doing anything themselves.
Right. So, I mean, like, I think one reason for that is because Apple Watch is designed to be charged while you're sleeping.
Right.
So Apple Watch doesn't do sleep tracking. And but you know, there are third parties that will use an iPhone's sensors if you put the iPhone on your bed, I suppose. And
yeah, it depends. A lot of them, you put the iPhone like on your bed, right beside your pillow. Others are designed, they actually just sit on the nightstand and you kind of aim the microphones on the bottom towards your bed.
Yeah. And that's not, I mean, that's nowhere near as accurate as what something like Bedit's doing.
Right. Yeah. Those others are more like, hey, you're sleeping okay or not. But the Bedit system is tracking like really useful data about your sleep and your sleep activities and patterns.
All right. So here's the question.
Okay.
What's Apple going to do with Bedit?
I really, really hope they leave the sensors on the market because...
Well, so let's go over what the obvious possibilities are.
Okay. They let Bedit continue to operate as a wholly owned company under Apple like FileMaker does.
LOL.
They absorb the entire company into Apple and their engineers now work for Apple and they start working on Apple branded sleep products.
Possible.
And the other thing they could do is just kill off the entire Bedit product line and use the Bedit engineers to create software that lets you track sleep from your Apple Watch or iPhone.
All right. So and more specifically, Apple could have bought the company because they wanted the people. Mm-hmm. Now, they probably want those people. For even if they don't want the technology, which they do.
Yeah, I think they want this technology.
I think they do. Even if they didn't, doesn't mean that the people are going to be working on sleep stuff. And it could be very tangential to the kind of sleep tracking that Bedit is in business for. Now, I don't believe that's the case. And I think that Apple is going to, at least for a while, leave the Bedit sleep tracker on the market while they work to integrate various and sundry Bedit technologies into iOS, Apple Watch, and iPhone, and watchOS.
Yeah, Bedit already integrates very nicely with the iPhone and Apple Watch, thanks to HealthKit. But it would be kind of cool if they created some sort of system that makes that totally transparent.
Right. And check this out. What if Apple's next watch, or maybe the watch after that, could be worn 24/7, you could sleep and have it do your sleep tracking?
I wouldn't do it.
What? Why not?
I do not want to wear a watch to bed.
Why not? Why do you care?
I do care.
Okay, why?
So I'm the guy that went, almost 20 years without wearing a watch because I really don't like wearing watches.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Do you mean you're the guy who said that you probably wouldn't wear an Apple Watch? But go ahead.
Right. And I got an Apple Watch. Turns out I love it. Mm-hmm. Now, my Apple Watch, I take it off and put it on the charger on my desk in my office. It doesn't mm-hmm. even go into the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And then it stays on the charger until I'm actually leaving my place for the first time the next day, which means that depending on what my schedule is, I may not wear my watch until 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
How do you get your 12 hours of standing up?
I'm standing up anyhow. It's just I've accepted that most of my activity isn't getting logged on the watch anymore.
If it doesn't get logged, it didn't happen. Everybody knows this, dude.
Yeah, so based on that, I have become a couch potato.
All right. Fair enough. I personally put my watch on first thing in the morning because I am addicted to getting those darn rings completed.
Yeah. And I get it. And it's a cool thing, and I love my watch, and I love that it's my triage tool for all kinds of data. But I was doing a Fitbit on my wrist to sleep at night before I got to bed it. And I tolerated having the thing on my wrist when I went to bed. I did not like it at all. But I did it for years because that was my only viable option.
All right. So judging by your track record,
I can tell you.
You will, in fact, be wearing your Apple Watch every night if they make it where it just charges wirelessly or something.
I can tell you in this case, you are so, so wrong. I have no desire to at all to
wear. If you could only see the smirk on my face, you might possibly want to punch me.
I would never punch you.
I didn't say you would. I said you might possibly want to.
I might.
It's a pretty punchable smirk.
Well, just keep in mind, sometimes I play the long game, and and at some point,
you're going to wait until I get into your bunk.
I'll wait until you get my bunk, and I'm going to say, "Look at my wrist."
Yeah, you use that for your fanfic, Michael.
Yeah, use that for the fanfic.
All right. So
and Jeff rolls over, and Brian's like, "Oh, you don't have a watch on. You're naked."
Oh, good Lord.
And that's this week's show.
No, unfortunately, we still have a few more minutes to go here. So I'm glad Apple has bought this company. I can't wait for Apple to be serious about sleep tracking. With Apple's grand plans about being this major player in the health industry, mm-hmm. sleep tracking is obviously a big part of that. So it's not a surprise that Apple has bought this. I think the real surprise is that Apple wasn't already in the sleep tracking game and hadn't already bought a company like Beddit. But they bought Beddit now. Can't wait to see what happens. I'm guessing that these products will stay on the market. And I'm guessing that Apple will also be integrating Beddit technology into parts or all of the rest of its product line.
That would be cool. And please, please, Apple, let those Beddit sensors stay on the market. Because it just feels so nice at the end of the day to take that watch off and just not have anything on my wrist.
Yeah, whatever.
I know. In your reality, it's hard to believe. But I'm complicated.
You know what? You know what I should do? I should sell my mechanical watch. At some point, I'm going to have to come to grips with that. I love my mechanical watch. I love it more than I love my Apple Watch, but I don't ever wear it because I want the data.
No, I get it. It's that's got to be a really hard one for you because you love your mechanical watch. It's beautiful.
Love
it's
my mechanical watch. I want to put it on right now. I'm just thinking about it. I'm like wishing I was wearing it instead of my Apple Watch. But the thing is, then I wouldn't have the data. Then how would I fill my rings?
You wouldn't. You'd be like me, where you'd tell people you're active, but now they don't believe you.
Can't prove it because it's not on the Apple Watch, obviously.
Yeah, I know it's not on my Apple Watch. Like right now, my Apple Watch says that I haven't had hardly any activity today, and I've stood only three times all day long. And that's because I didn't have my watch on until, like, I don't know, mid, late afternoon.
Do not call Apple Watch a liar. Okay, I'm kidding. So
it's not a liar. It's totally accurate for what it has tracked.
Right, fair enough. So there's Bedit. We got that one knocked out. It's really interesting. Can't wait to see what Apple's going to do. The other thing that we had talked about do you remember the other thing?
Yeah, the render. The
new render. Yes, the rendering. Not like a other.
I know what you're trying, where you're trying to go, and I'm just going to let you.
No, I'm not going to
out yourself.
You know, I'm not going to do it. See, it's this movie. This book. This book, The Summer of Night, by Dan Simmons. Old. It's, I don't know, it's 30 years old now. Mm-hmm. I first read it in the 90s. Great book. Kept me up at night. Like
and white back then when you were young?
Worse, they were carved in stone. So it was sort of a gray and gray, really.
Typos must have been horrible.
Oh, yeah, totally. And that book, one night I was afraid to turn out the lights. And now, admittedly, a lot more scary things have come out since then. But that
wouldn't it have been great if you'd been able to go, hey, Siri, turn off the lights?
Actually, I wouldn't have done it. I was terrified. Are you kidding? That book freaks me out.
My lights are off.
Now that's funny.
I forgot to turn my phone upside down.
That is funny. All right. In the book, The Summer of Night, set in a small town in Illinois in 1962 or three, I forget which. Mm-hmm. And a character in the book is a rendering truck that would pick up carcasses off the wall, off the road. Because it's, you know, small town, like, you know, people hit deer and cows and possums and stuff. So anyway,
I'm not laughing at the plight of the animals. It's just your selection. Deer and cows and possums and stuff.
And stuff. Yeah. It's important. So anyway, that's whenever I use the word rendering, which often that's actually what comes to my mind. Inside the mind of Brian Chaffin. So we have new renders of the supposed unannounced iPhone 8 that are supposedly based on CAD drawings. Is that right?
Yes. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is accurate.
Okay. They look amazing. They look like an Apple product. More specifically, they look like an Apple iPhone.
Yes.
But there's one thing about them. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, there's probably there's like all kinds of things about them. So let's talk about the fact that it is, in fact, an edgeless display, right?
Well, the glass blends in, is curved at the edges to blend into the body. So it appears almost seamless.
Right.
The display itself runs almost to the edge of the glass all the way around.
Right. By the way, did you catch the story where third-party repair stores are stoked because the Samsung Galaxy S8 has been rated the most breakable device of all time, the most breakable smartphone ever.
Seriously?
Yeah. Square Trade. Do you know what Square Trade is?
Yeah. Yeah.
They offer third party warranties. Right. And so one of the things they do is they test these devices so they can actually figure out how much to charge for a third party warranty. In their testing, the Galaxy S8, the Samsung Galaxy S8, just get that clear, was the first device to break on the first drop, no matter what side they dropped it on.
Oh, my God.
They rated it the most breakable product of all time. And third party repair companies, stores, you know, stores that'll do smartphone repairs.
Yeah, fix it shops.
Fix it shops. They're just like stoked.
Well,
I hate Samsung. They're such a crappy company.
You know, the S8, I've had a chance to play with one a few times now. And and I know that you're not going to like hearing this. It's a beautiful phone, and it feels so comfortable in your hand, and it looks really nice, and that screen is stunning.
You know, I haven't seen it in person. It's hard for me to believe that it looks good in person, but I'm, you know, fine.
Yeah, it looks really nice. I mean, it looks really nice. Keep in mind, when I've had a chance to play with them, they're brand new, so they haven't been dropped yet.
Fair enough. So these renders were done. Who put them out? Was it OnLeaks?
OnLeaks. And that's why I'm saying we've got the legit iPhone 8 now, because OnLeaks, he has the solid track record of getting the CAD files and being able to create accurate renderings of all kinds of products before they ship. I mean, like every single time he nails it. And so when he comes out with an iPhone 8 render and I look at it, I'm looking at the real thing right there.
Well, it certainly looks like it could be the real thing. This looks like it could be an Apple device. It's sexy. All the lines make sense. They're all very, very, very Apple-like. It's got looks like it's got a double. Is that a double light or a double lens on the back? Is that a double LED light?
There's double lenses on the back.
Double lenses. Well, I only see one lens hole and then two little holes. Like those could be LEDs.
Well, there's, I guess what I need to do is go back and look at all the images. I see what you're talking about. And so, yeah.
I expect Apple to do. Apple has had such success with the iPhone 7 Plus's portrait mode. Mm-hmm. Success in terms of that thing. They can't make enough of those things. That I expect the double lens to be brought to as much of the product line as they think makes sense.
Yeah. And my guess is that just the way the lenses look in the rendering, we have two lenses with a flash in between.
That's an awfully little hole for a lens, though, those two little holes. Anyway, this is getting a little bit rabbit holey. The one thing that doesn't strike or ring true about this device is how thick it is.
The delicious irony of all of us saying, I don't need a phone that's thinner. I'll take one that's a little bit thicker if you give me a freaking battery that lasts longer. And now we have these renderings for an iPhone that looks a little bit thicker. And everyone's like, going, what the hell? That looks thick.
Yeah, and it does. And the thing is that I would rather have it be a little thicker with more battery life. I just don't trust Apple to give that to me. Well, Apple is so obsessed with thinness. But if these factory renderings are correct, Apple is giving that to us.
Yeah. And if that fits with earlier reports that we had from several weeks ago, a couple months ago, I think, that Apple is redesigning how the battery will be built and sit inside this model, it's because it's going to be a bigger battery.
Which let's hope that that's the case. But I tell you what, this phone, these renderings are sexy looking. They're fantastic looking. They look like an Apple product. I'm with you. I think that they're legit.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just a guess, it's a great guess.
I don't think it's a guess. He's the man. When he gets something, he gets it. And I'm thinking because he released these images, it's because it's the real deal.
So an interesting aspect of this is, do you remember when Tim Cook was blaming rumors for slower iPhone sales?
Yes.
You know, we were pretty focused on the fact that he sounds like he's making an excuse. Mm-hmm. And what's different about this year than any other year? Right. But
yeah, actually, yeah. What's different?
Friend of mine pointed out, nothing's different, but a friend of mine pointed out that when Tim Cook is going to say that, what it means, and this is probably why Apple, this is part of why Apple is, the Apple stock has had a big run up. And full disclosure, I own a tiny stake in Apple. When Tim Cook makes a statement like that, what he's saying is that demand for the next iPhone is going to be off the wall, off the charts, off the hook. It's going to, I don't know. It's going to float your boat. It's going to do a thing. It's a phrase that means that they're going to sell a lot.
Oh man, you're just metaphor deficient tonight, aren't you?
I am. That's why he actually said that. He wasn't actually so much as making a mistake as saying, yeah, look to when we release these things, because they're going to be, the demand for these things is going to be off the charts. So, again, insert that phrase.
So more Cook code.
Usually when we're talking about Cook code, we're talking about unreleased products and Apple's direction. This is more like a message to Wall Street. And, you know, to that end, I'm going to actually check why does sometimes E-Trade annoys me. I'm going to check Apple's price, because as of yesterday, I think they were up over 150. 153 today, and that's after giving up 73 cents. So this is part of why Apple stock has been on a bit of a run, is because Tim made those statements. It wasn't so much about making excuses for now. It was telegraphing that the S word's going to get real come the fall. I'm silver tongued today, aren't I?
Boy, howdy.
So there you have it. And with this phone with these renderings, man, for sure people are gonna.
It's a sexy looking phone.
Yep. Sexy looking phone. Now the question is whether or not they're also going to have that S and that 7S and that 7S Plus, like the rumors have been saying. Because who's going to want those other phones, man? That thing looks great. It's gorgeous. It's going to be expensive.
Yeah, I know. I'm like actually really worried about this one for price.
But yeah, fair enough. But if it's any consolation, we'll probably have to wait a long time, because it seems like demand is going to be pretty intense for them.
Yeah, that actually is the consolation for me.
It's going to take forever to get.
Yeah. So, which means that it's longer before my my credit card starts crying.
Dude, are you not on the, like,
Oh, yeah, I'm on the yearly upgrade thing.
Well, then what's the problem?
Hyperbole.
Oh, I like it.
Thank you.
I like it. All right. We're way over time, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, that's good.
Yeah, but I can fix that. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add a question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
Hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Unless you read Michael's fanfic.